brings us to our second lesson, which is by far the shorter of the two lessons. Paul writes, "Listen, I will tell you a mystery. We will not all die, but we will all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When this perishable body puts on imperishability, and this mortal body puts on immortality, then the saying that is written will be fulfilled. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, one of the things I have observed in ministry over these many years is that we are not all certain all the time. One of those times when we tend to get uncertain, particularly about resurrection and salvation and want to know how this stuff all works, is when we or someone we care about draws close to death. So in a hospice room, at a hospital bedside, before a surgery, right after a diagnosis, sometimes after yet another birthday, these things come up. And a lot of times we think that we're weak, that we're bad Christians, that we're not good people of faith. And so I want you to listen very carefully to this long slice of Paul in the 15th chapter, because this was a question and a debate in the first century. If we do a little bit of history work, you guys may remember that Paul was a Pharisee, and that there was another group of religious folks called Sadducees. And you have groaned out loud in the sanctuary when I've told you how to remember the Sadducees' primary piece of doctrine is that they don't believe in the resurrection, which makes them sad, you see. So this was a conversation that was going. It was ongoing. And it's still ongoing. What do we mean about resurrection? What do we mean about bodily resurrection? What do we mean about bodies and spirits and souls and hearts and minds? And will I be resurrected with 18-year-old me or 44-year-old me? I know which one I'd choose. I don't know which one I'm going to get, but I know which one I'd choose. And so all of those are things that float around when we talk about the resurrection. It's rarely an intellectual endeavor for us. It's usually an emotional endeavor for us. What Paul wants us to remember is that the very concept of resurrection is tied to Jesus Christ. If we want to say that the whole resurrection thing doesn't happen for anybody, then it didn't happen for Jesus. And if it didn't happen for Jesus, then it's not going to happen for us. If it's not going to happen for us, then it's not going to happen for anybody else. That's the logical trail that Paul lays out for us. He does it 2, 3, 4 times in those paragraphs because you may have noticed we people of faith are sometimes slow to get the point. And so here we stand in the middle of a global pandemic with death tolls rising, with stories that we hear from Lenita and others who are on the front lines of facing this disease, and resurrection, death, life after death, and what happens are very much a front burner theological consideration for our day suddenly again. I'm going to give you the too long, don't read version. I don't have an answer. I don't know how it works. God did not call me on the red phone last night as I was preparing this sermon with, okay, Wade, here's how the resurrection really works. What are you going to do? And so here we are as people of faith gathered on the first day of the week, gathered to celebrate Easter, to have a little Easter on this, the seventh Sunday of Easter, because ultimately we are an Easter people. We are a people of faith defined by the resurrection. It is the moment, the time, the event, the happening, the thing that changes everything. Up until the first day of the week, Pilate has won. The scribes and the power brokers and the people in the temple and the foolish crowd, they have all won. Death has won. And on Easter, suddenly, in a strange way, God wins. The stone is rolled away. He is not here. He is risen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. And even on that first Easter, people aren't sure it's happened. Mary wants to know from the gardener. You remember the gardener on the first Easter? What has been done with the body of her Lord? After she's convinced he's raised, she goes back and talks to the 12, and they're not sure either. So they run to the tomb to check it out, because why would they take the word of Mary? And then they go back and they talk amongst themselves, but Thomas isn't there when Jesus appears to them. And so Thomas doesn't believe it's happened. Are you sensing a pattern here? We have a really hard time believing in resurrection, even when we've been told it's coming, even when we've been told it's happened. We have a hard time believing in resurrection because it's not our experience. Paul starts this little slice, 26 verses, by taking and transforming resurrection from a singular event that happened on an Easter, on the first day of the week, so long ago. Paul transforms our understanding of resurrection. It is the good news that Paul and the disciples proclaimed to us, that grand us of everybody who comes after them, that we received. We have heard it. We have taken it in. On some level, it has become a part of our lives, this good news. It is the good news in which we stand, through which we are being saved. The resurrection isn't just news for the first century. It is for us now. You probably do have doubts about the resurrection. Seminary does a really good job at giving you doubts about the resurrection. But it is at the linchpin and the cornerstone of our faith. It is not just a day. It is a process that we are each going through. We are each being raised from the dead in faith today, tomorrow, the next day. It is the good news in which we stand. When we feel too weak to stand, it is the good news that gives us the strength to stand. You probably have your doubts. You may be certain today and uncertain tomorrow. Know that you are in good company among theologians and disciples and people who even were there the first time who doubt the resurrection. Know that it remains the good news. Paul's going to write later in Romans that if we are baptized into a death like Christ, we are certainly baptized into a resurrection like Christ. That is the promise of Easter and the promise of baptism and the promise of our faith. So friends, on this, the seventh Sunday of Easter, know that being an Easter people is not just something we say. It is something that defines who we are in the world. When we say that Christ is risen, you might say he is risen indeed. We can also say we are risen indeed. To God alone be the glory this day and forevermore. Amen.